Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Dude, Could You Imagine? The show that asks what if and explores the hypothetical and absurd. I'm your host, Fritz Frivolous. Now let's meet our contestants and explain the rules for our audience. The rules are simple. Our two contestants, Will and Tom, will place these neural transmitters on their heads. And then they will be placed into a deep coma-like state. From this point, I will ask them a question or give them a scenario to which they must answer, all while the neural transmitters give us a glimpse into what they are imagining. So, Will and Todd, are you ready? As ready as I'll ever be.
Indeed.
Well, you heard him, folks. Let's get ready to play Dude, Could You Imagine? And the question is, what if you received a box that contained everything you have ever lost? What would be inside? Ho, 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 William.
Ho, 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 Tom.
We received our question from Fritz. Mm-hmm. And that question is, what if we received a box and that box held everything that we have ever lost?
Now, this has got to be a pretty big box for me. I mean, we're both, you know, I'm 30 something, you're 40 something. We feel like we've both lived a lot of life, and I'm sure we've both lost a lot of things in life. I will say, yeah. What would your immediate feeling be when this happened? Because mine would be, I would be overwhelmed with joy.
Well, okay. Yeah, at first, to be honest with you, I'd be a little perplexed. I think the feeling of, you know, let's just say we received this box from, let's say, you know, mildly overweight, jolly guy, right?
in a red suit.
Yeah, he may or may not be wearing a red suit. You know, he may or may not have a long white beard. But I at first, I'll be honest with you, because like a lot of things that I have lost in my life are already out of my head. Like, you know what I mean? Like if they're lost and I don't have the pain of that loss still with me, like I've already forgotten about it.
Now I wonder, does that mean that you've never really lost anything important to you, or are you just that carefree of a spirit? You know, are you truly a leaf on the wind?
Yeah, leaf on the wind. No, like, see, and here's the problem with me answering that question. Uh-huh. I'm sure I probably have lost stuff that's very important. But like, if you were to ask me, okay, well, what were they? I can't give you an answer. Like,
that's,
you know what I mean? I don't remember.
What you're saying is you have early onset dementia. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wait, who are you?
But no, like, okay, so what's your name? Don't remember. I think a lot of people have that where they have
what's your name, sir? What are you talking about?
God damn it, no! Our podcast!
Yeah. No, I honestly, real quick, I think what it is that I think what it is it's in the past now. It's lost. I couldn't find it. Like, and I don't like that lingering feeling of, you know, like when, you know, everyone probably gets the same feeling when they lose something.
yeah, regret. I just don't want to hold on to that. Right. So I probably at some point in my life, I just kind of made it like my mind probably just kind of like automatically started doing this thing where it's just like, okay, you can't do nothing about it. You lost it. Boom. Out of your memory.
Yeah. You just throw it in the recycle bin. You're done.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Very interesting. I mean, for me, it's a lot different. Not to say I'm sitting here lamenting every day all the things in life that I've lost, but I mean, I guess I have a pretty good memory from my childhood, and that may be why I remember. Also, though, I have a very it's a lot better now, and it seems to get better as the years go on. But since I was a child, I've had a very, very strong knack of losing things, like. I lose things. It's just what I do.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm clumsy and I lose track of things very easily. I remember back when I was in a band, me and my bass player, we started a side project band that the name of that band was Steel-Toed Ass Whoopin'. And it was like a comedy, hard rock, heavy music group. And, we lived together at that time. We were roommates. And even then, I was constantly losing shit. And we would joke around that there were these mythical creatures around the house that were constantly stealing like our socks and our little thingamabobs and stuff. And we ended up writing a song about these creatures. We named them the Gnomicons, which is like we just took the word leprechaun and gnome and put it together. And we just invented this whole mythos about these nasty, evil little creatures called the Gnomicons. And we wrote a song about the Gnomicons, and it was like, it was very heavy. It was very cool. It was very funny.
Little do you know, it's true.
It's true. What if the Gnomicons are real?
That's pretty cool. I like that. I could see somebody making like a,
I really
you know,
wish
like a
I
short
could
little.
Dig, I we really wish I could dig that up because I think we recorded it acoustic, but of course the style was like metal, so it was really weird sounding. But,
dude, if you can dig that up, because I think that would be an interesting episode if we played that song,
oh,
right?
God.
And then we should have an episode where we talk about like a mythical creature that we've made up, and yours could be that, you know what I mean? And we could go
yeah,
in depth
no,
on
totally,
what they could
totally.
Be like.
It's going to be a long shot because if anyone has it, it would be him, and I lost contact with him over 10 years ago. But okay. But I will try.
Yeah.
But that being said, so I've lost a lot of things in my life. So I have many things on my mind immediately. I'm like, oh, I would get that back. Oh, I would get that back. So
you'd be very excited.
Yeah. So I'm also thinking maybe I should go first, because I think if I go first, it might jog your memory of like, oh, yeah, I used to have this or oh, yeah, I used to have that. You know, whatever,
that's a good idea.
You know, exercises we have to go through to get your dementia riddled mind.
Exactly.
Upstarted.
to snap me out of my dementia.
There we go. So, if this box was presented to me, I would actually, this would be an extraordinarily lucky circumstance, because I would get a lot of things back that nowadays would be quite fucking valuable. So I mean, I don't know how valuable these things, but these things pop out to me first. I was probably like 16 or so, and I had a box full of all my old video games and stuff. I had a Nintendo 64, Super Nintendo, a Super Game Boy. I had a PlayStation 1 and a PlayStation 2. I had what else?
I have all those.
Yeah, dude, I had all this and all my games, and that entire box disappeared. I know it was stolen by the movers. I know for a fucking. There's no way it fucking disappeared. The one box that had all my cool ass shit, yeah, it was gone. They stole it.
Oh man!
And my mom refused to do anything about it, and I was a kid still. But I would be overjoyed to have that shit back, and some of that might be valuable because it was in really good condition.
Hell yeah.
So, I mean, and not that I would sell it, just because, like, I wish I had those systems now, because, as you know, I'm really into old school games, even games that were made before I was born. Like, I'm really into retro gaming. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, retro gaming is dope, dude.
Oh, it's yeah, really I'm super into it. And then my original base set Shadowless Pokemon cards, my jungle set and my fossil set of Pokemon cards. I had a lot of holographics as a kid. And if I got that book back, God knows, I don't even know where all that shit went. Like, now, like, I know I used to have it and I don't have it anymore. So at some point in my childhood, it got lost. a lot of those cards would be worth a lot of money nowadays. Especially,
I'm imagining this box for you has to be either rather large or has to be have some magic power behind it to where every time you dig your hand into the box, you just pull something that you had lost. You know what I mean?
So in D&D, we would call that a bag of holding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. or a handy haversack. Those are magic items in D&D that, like, they're the size of, like, your average, like, backpack or bag, but inside is, like, a liminal space, like a pocket dimension that can hold, like, way more than what it looks like it can hold.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it would definitely have to be that. I have lost musical equipment from shows and stuff. Stuff's disappeared on me because it probably got stolen. So I would get stuff back that, you know, I could probably sell some of that. The Pokemon cards, I think, honestly, I would probably sell the Pokemon cards. I've learned something about myself. Pokemon cards are a dark and evil addiction that I have to stay away from. It's a money pit for you.
It's
a fucking money pit, dude. It's so expensive to try and keep up and collect that shit. Like, outside of just being independently wealthy, I don't know how you could do it without, like, fucking digging yourself into debt. It's just so expensive. And it's addictive. It's like you're looking for that dopamine hit of, like, opening up a fresh pack and getting a good pull. Like, it's ridiculous and it's stupid.
Dude, I can't say that I know the experience, mm-hmm. but I have seen it firsthand. My brother-in-law Andrew collects Pokemon cards. He's, like, heavily into them. And you know, and not only just because of the money being a money pit and all that kind of stuff and the other things that you described, but also especially nowadays because they put limitations on them on, like, how many you can buy, and they're always sold out, and you got to travel there.
It's just crazy. It's crazy how many people are into it, which makes everything that much more scarce. And yeah, it's just when I first got back into Pokemon cards for a little bit there, this would have been like five or 6 years ago now. God, time passes so fast. I kind of entered the hobby right at the tail end of when, like, a set would come out, and, like, the set was a size that you could, like, reasonably with a good amount of luck and savvy, reasonably collect the whole set before the next set came out without spending, like, an arm and a leg. You would just spend an arm, but you'd keep that leg. And I swear it was like 3 sets after I started getting into the hobby that they just started expanding things so astronomically that I was like, there's no fucking way I could ever get this whole set without dropping like $5,000. And then the next set comes out 3 months later. Like, it's just, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. And that's not even including the specialty sets, which they do 2 or 3 times a year too. So anyways.
Oh, really? I didn't know about
that. So if I got all those Pokemon cards back, I'd be overjoyed and I would sell all of them. Let's see. I've lost many wallets in my life. Have you ever lost a wallet?
No, I have.
You've
never
in your whole life lost your wallet. You've never accidentally left it someplace. Like, oh shit, I left it in the restaurant. Let's go back. Oh, it's gone.
No. So, okay, that has happened to me, but I've been lucky enough to been able to go back and it's there.
Okay.
or even lucky enough to where, like, actually, like, one time I remember leaving my phone at the bar. Mm-hmm. And it literally, dude, like, it was probably over a few days that I finally figured out, like, oh, I think I left it here at this bar or whatever. And I went there and it was still there. The bartender, I guess somebody found it, turned it in. And the bartender, because at that time I used to do these funny pictures of, like, through Photoshop, I would put my face on, like, I don't know, the Incredible Hulk's body or something, right?
Right.
And he recognized my face, and he kept the phone behind the bar. So roughly three days later, I went back to get it. And as soon as I walked in, he's like, oh, you're here for your phone. And I was wow, thank God. Yeah,
that's cool that he recognized you immediately like that. That's cool. Yeah, you lucked out. As someone who's lost both my phone, but mostly my wallet more than my phone, multiple times, I would say a good 50% of the times that I've left it at a place, I never saw that shit again.
Dang.
So it would probably be a pretty cool surprise of, like, you know, at least a few $100s in just lost wallets alone.
I could see that, like, oh, yes. Yeah. Like,
and I remember one wallet I lost. I must have been like 14 or 15. I had a, it was just a black leather wallet with the Led Zeppelin tattoo I have. It had those symbols on it. And I think I had like 125 in it when I lost it.
Oh, and like that man.
It was a fucking weird one too, because I remembered exactly where I put it and I was not in a situation where it could have been stolen. So I still don't know how it fucking disappeared on me, but it never turned up. I never found it. You know, 14, 15 years old and losing 125, especially, you know, in 2005 or whatever it was.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's a lot of money.
That hit hard, man. I was devastated.
Dang, dude, that was a big score for the Nomicons right there.
Yeah,
dude.
Man, the Nomicons came up. You know, they lived it up in Vegas after that in their private little Nomicon casinos.
Yeah, seriously.
What else have I lost?
Let me ask you something real quick about the wallet. Yeah. Do you normally put your wallet in your front pocket or your back pocket?
I used to be a back pocket person, but honestly, because of my back and stuff, I've learned to keep it in my front pocket.
No, okay. Well, what about back then when you were losing these wallets?
I was more of a back pocket person, but usually when I lost it, it was because I took it out for whatever given reason and then ended up leaving it somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. But then see, okay, well maybe that doesn't translate. I don't know. The reason I ask is because I've always been a front pocket person for my wallet and everything, right? Mm-hmm. I don't like keeping anything in my back pocket because I've always been just very, very like wary of pickpockets, even though like it's not something that's common around where I live or anything.
No, certainly not.
But like, I think it's just in my head, like watching movies and stuff, I'm just like, oh, why would I put it in my back pocket? You know, like it's easily taken out. Plus, but the other thing too, one reason why I don't think I lost my wallet like that is because of the fact that I feel like I can feel my wallet better in my front pocket. So I would know, like be aware that, oh, it's not in my pocket anymore.
Right.
You know, and I would look around for it right away. But I've never worn it in my back pocket. But in my head, I would think, oh, maybe in your back pocket, you don't have that feeling. So your body's not like,
I mean, that's,
you know, your
that's
mind's
possible.
Not going to notice it maybe.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. It's hard to say. I mean, to be honest, the last time I lost a wallet, it was a little over 10 years ago. So it's been a long time.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I think it was more along the lines of like back then I was clumsy and scatterbrained and young and going through a lot of stuff back then in my teen years. It was a very difficult time for me. Yeah. I think a lot of that just kind of compiled on. And I'm just naturally a forgetful person when it comes to, like, I only live half of the time in the physical world. The other half of the time, I am in the cognitive space of my brain, and I zone out. It's funny because I see my son do it, too, where he'll lock into whatever it is he's doing, whether he's playing with a toy or watching TV or just playing or dancing or whatever, and like he trying to get his attention when he's locked in like that, it's almost impossible. And that's how it is for me too. if I'm watching a movie or if I'm writing or if I'm doing some thinking, and I mean that, like I'll do some thinking. Sometimes I just sit and do some thinking. I lock in, and like you could yell my name from across the room and I will not hear you. I usually have to be like nudged or someone be, you know, pretty close in proximity to me and say my name loudly. So I have that kind of that tunnel vision. So yeah. I've learned to work around myself worse than wallets or any of the other stuff. It's keys. Keys fuck me up the most. And
man.
Even now, I do all these things to make sure I don't lose track of my keys. And I still every once in a while lose my keys and it takes me a day or two to find them. And they'll be in a place. I'm like, why on earth did I put it there? Like, I know where I'm supposed to put it. I have like two key locations I always put it. But it's always like when something happens that is outside of the normal like range of things that happen on my day to day like basis. And it occurs around the time that I get home and I have my keys in my hand, that's when I'll lose my keys, because something that requires my immediate attention requires I put the, it doesn't require, but I'll have the keys in my hand and I'll put it down somewhere to take care of whatever's happening, and then I forget about them. And that's when I lose my keys. So
see that's so strange, because okay, so I've only ever lost my keys like that one time.
Oh my God.
And yeah, and that's the weird part, is I never take my keys out or anything. There's no, except for at home, there's no other time that I would ever take my keys out of my pocket wherever I'm at. If it's not at home, I will never take them out of my pocket. Like, unless for some specific reason, and then after whatever I'm doing, I would put them back in my pocket.
So that makes sense. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, but the one time that I actually lost my keys like that, it wasn't even like how you were describing it. It wasn't that I took them out. They were in my pocket, and I guess somehow I was sitting down and they slid out of my pocket and went into the couch cushions. Yeah. This was when I was at work. I was actually, well, you know, Eric, I was working with Eric, and dude, we, as soon as we got up, like, within the minute, I knew like, oh, where are my keys? Like, you know, because they're always in my front pocket, and I didn't feel them. And then looking everywhere. We even looked kind of in the couch cushions, but we didn't do a good job. We just kind of like, no, I couldn't have gone in there. The couch cushions are so tight together, right?
Right.
So after hours upon hours, I missed my lunch because I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't find my keys. I called, at that time she was my girlfriend, but Ashley, and then I told her, like, hey, you might have to, like, pick me up because I can't find my keys or whatever, da da da. We finally ended up literally tearing apart the couch, and we found them. And because of that one experience, my wife bought me what do they call? Is it called a carabiner? The little, like, it's like a little metal, like, mountain climbers use them a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. One of those little hooks.
Yeah, the little hook things. And so now my keys are on one of those, and that hooks onto my belt loop. So my keys fall into my pocket, but they could never fall off of my pants.
Yeah. So I, for years, I use something along those lines too, so to keep them latch. And I probably lost my keys the absolute fewest times during that time period until they broke. And I should probably get some more or another. But I was going to. I had a comment to make about how you said, like, you never take your keys out under any circumstances. And that makes total sense. And I would also do that. Like, I would choose to do that if I could. But I also have this other thing. So I just told you how I get tunnel vision and stuff, right? A lot of times while I have tunnel vision, my hands have this nasty fucking habit of doing things without me knowing. They will.
Really?
Yes. All the fucking time. I will. I will. If I have something on me, like, my hands will start fidgeting with it, messing with it, whatever, or just take it out, put it somewhere, or they'll just start, like, grabbing something off to the side, and then I'll, like, snap out of it and be like, oh shit, what the fuck am I doing?
And, like, you don't even know that you're consciously doing it?
No, because I'm thinking. I'm busy thinking or writing or whatever it is I'm doing. Yeah, dude. And this has been since I was a kid. It's always been like that. And there are times, I wish I could think of a specific example, but there are times where Michelle's just like, what are you doing? I'll look. I'm like, I have no idea. I go, I was thinking. My hands just started moving. A lot of times it's innocuous. A lot of times it's just like, I'll be tapping. You know, I'll be tapping on something or, you know, just fiddling with whatever. But sometimes they will actively start, like, doing things. And I think it's just muscle memory. Because it'll be things that, like, you do on your day-to-day, like opening the fridge or you know, opening a door or I don't know. It's hard for me to think of a specific example besides that. But, like,
yeah,
it's usually innocent and it's usually not a hindrance to my day-to-day. But yes, I do tend to pull things out of my pockets and put them someplace because I start fiddling with them and I'm like, oh, get this away from me.
That sounds like it could go dark, like Michelle saying, like, Will, what are you doing? And you're like, huh? And you look over and you have a knife in your hand. And you're like, oh my God, run, Michelle, I can't stop it.
No, it's never anything like that. But yeah, I've always been like that. And I don't really have a good explanation. I mean, I've never taken the time to try and change it either. It's just part of who I am, and I think it's just one of my quirks, and it doesn't cause me too many problems. Like, it did when I was younger, and I lost more things more often, but I don't lose things like that really anymore. except for my keys, which I find, so it's okay. So yeah, this box would have a lot of keys. It would be overflowing with guitar picks. Like guitar picks.
Oh,
it would just
yeah,
be an ocean of guitar picks, because I lose things easily, naturally, as we've discussed on this episode many times already. But guitar picks are notorious for being lost by every guitar player who plays.
Yeah. I look at guitar picks almost as like disposable.
I mean, they're super not too, because they're terrible for the environment. They're plastic.
Yeah, but I mean,
dude,
you lose them so easily.
They disappear. And the thing is, I find them years later all the time. I'll be like, you know, I don't know, cleaning my kitchen or whatever, and suddenly a pick falls out of a portal hole, and I'm like, oh shit, I haven't seen this one in 3 years. Hell yeah! And I'll go put it away, and then I'll lose it again.
Today's show is brought to you by Holloway's Holloway. Do you have more clutter than you need? Are you living in fear of becoming a hoarder? Call Holloway's Holloway service now and regain that space and freedom in your home. Once again, that's Holloway's Holloway. We are also sponsored by Patreon. Looking to become more than just a patron? Become a Patreon member at patreon.com/dudecouldyouimagine and show your support. And finally, Apple Podcasts. Take a bite into the apple and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Now, let's get back to some more Dude, Could You Imagine? So, you know, that reminds me of a funny story. A friend of mine, David, you know, we used to always play, like, we used to always have game nights, and he would hate it whenever he would lose something, but he would always find it in an odd area, right? Mm-hmm. Just like what you're saying, like with the guitar picks. Mm-hmm. And we started doing this thing, this kind of joke, where every time there would be some piece lost or whatever, and he's looking around for it, we're like, hey, did you check behind the stove? like just randomly,
yeah.
You know, and like it would bother him to the point where he's like, fuck, and then he'd go look behind the stove just in case.
That's hilarious. You know what I mean? That sounds like the work of the Nomicons right there.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
And then outside of that, I'm sure there's just a lot of things that I'm sure that like I can't think of in the moment, but like that I would find that would just be a really pleasant surprise. You know, I used to have some old photo albums and stuff. I probably would find those. I'd probably find a lot of really cool things that I would be like exceptionally grateful that I had this crazy Santa Clausian looking man deliver to me in this box. I think it would be an emotional and exciting and joyous occasion, actually, until I lost it all again. But
I know, right? Imagine losing this box.
God, no, this box would be precious, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'd also be full of a bunch of fucking junk and shit that I did not want.
I was just about to bring that up. Like, obviously, we'd be happy on the stuff that we would find in this box that we had lost, but just imagine all the shit that we didn't care about that got lost that we'd be like, oh my God, where am I going to put it? Just roll the trash can over here and let me just, you know what I mean? Like,
there'd probably be enough spare change in this box of mine to like take my family out for a nice dinner.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
I bet you like 33 years of lost change in a single place. Like, yeah, I think that's enough to go for a nice dinner.
I know. You know that's another thing too. Have you ever lost any food somewhere? You know, imagine showing up now and it's all old and moldy.
That'd be nasty. I feel like the Santa Clausian figure would definitely leave that stuff out.
Yeah. Or magically make it so that it's not moldy.
yeah, seriously. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in life that like I'm like, oh man. See, there's things in life that I sold because I needed to at the time that I wish I could somehow have those things back, but that's not the same as losing a thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different. Go ahead, because
I was going to say, while you're thinking of that, I was like, I was going to give my very short, probably not as good answer as yours.
Okay. The last thing I was going to say is also, like, there's been times in my life where something really cool that I had broke. But that's also not the same as technically losing it, so I don't think that would count either.
Oh, yeah. That's.
But, okay, let's talk about your box, man. What's in this box of Tom Cases?
So I am most certain that there'll probably be a lot of trash in there, like things that I didn't care that got lost, you know, because now that hearing your answer made me realize that a lot of the stuff, you know, that I really would have not wanted to lose, I don't lose. You know what I mean? Like I've never like really, like I said, I know. I was like trying to find a way to say it a little more nice, but what I meant was just like, I've never lost or really lost, like, you know, my wallet or keys, you know. I mean, I've told you the stories of when I have, and I've gotten them back. So I don't know if you could really, you know, claim
must
that
they're
nice, lost.
Must be nice, Tom. Must be nice.
I know, right? It's probably part of my OCD, to be honest.
We all have different knacks and quirks and stuff, so it's all good.
Yeah. But one very, very, very happy... one reason why I would be very, very happy is I do remember things from my childhood that I had lost, whether it was like unbeknownst to me or my brother, my mom throwing away stuff or whatever. And they were like action figures that I never got back.
Yeah.
And knowing the kind of market and stuff for that things nowadays, like, for one, I would just love to have them back. I don't even know if I would think about selling them.
Right.
But I know I had stuff that would have been worth a lot of money today. Like, I had, like, I don't know, countless of G.I. Joes that, actually, if I probably dug up my backyard, I probably would find some, because me and my brother would, like, dig these trenches to make little, like, you know, like rivers and whatnot, you know, that we would like put our G.I. Joes in to like fake battles and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But like after doing that so many times, you know, like I remember us losing some and we would try to dig where we thought they were. And I don't know where they went, but they're gone.
They were just gone. Sucks.
So this box would be filled with a lot of action figures, especially G.I. Joes, especially He-Man figures. And they would all be this. I know, because I've seen them, like, you know, when you go to like Frankensons or a place like that where they sell collectibles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I see those toys all the time there. And I'm always like, oh, I had that. And then I look at the price tag. I'm like, they're selling that for $200. Like, you know what I mean? Or 500 bucks. Like,
yeah.
it would be overflow. That's what mostly would be in the box, I think, would be a lot of action figures and probably some comic books. I remember my brother being more of the comic book collector than me, but I had quite a few. And honestly, I don't know where they all went. Like, I don't remember throwing them away ever. But then I just, like, because, you know, like with comic books, we kind of just stashed them away. Like, we knew some of them may be worth something someday. Yeah. And like most of those are protected like in a sleeve and they're in a folder. But some of my other ones, you know, maybe something, like they may not be worth, you know, a lot of money, but like I have no clue where they went. I've looked for them and they're gone. You couldn't find them. Yeah, so those would definitely be in this box, and I'd be like, "Oh, I remember these." So
well, yeah, you know, with the comic books, let me guess, you were probably collecting these in the 90s.
Yeah, I would say through the 90s and late 80s.
Okay, so I don't know if this is going to make you feel better or worse about the comics that you may or may not have lost. But I do know that during the 90s especially was the comic book bubble. And so it was around the 80s and 90s that like the old comic books started being valued really, really highly. Like if you had like a Detective Comics number one or whatever it was with Batman, like it was worth a shit ton of money, right? And so that started like a big boom in collecting of comics. And the comic book creators, DC and Marvel mostly, took advantage of that by like making like holographic comics and alternative art comics and all this other stuff. And that still goes on to this day. Like any one comic usually has like already two alt covers that are worth like quadruple the normal amount that the regular comic cover is. But what it led to in the 90s was a huge oversaturation of the market. And so, you know, people forget that the reason that those old, old comics were worth something was because no one thought they would be. So very few people kept held on to them. So their scarcity is what made things valuable. So in the 90s, when everyone started buying them up and hoarding them, unfortunately, most of those comics aren't worth much of anything because, well, even to this day, the market's saturated with them. Even someone like the big comic book moments of that era, like, you know, that's one of the things that can make a comic book valuable, if it's like a character's debut or if it's like a really iconic storyline, you know, that happened, that can make it valuable. But because that era was so saturated, those comic books are still around and plentiful. So unfortunately, that era of comics has very few comics that are worth a lot.
Yeah, like I said, I don't even know if I would think about selling them anyway. That's just true. To have them back for that nostalgia.
Yeah, that would,
you know,
be cool.
That sentimental value would be like, oh, I got them back again. Like, you know, you're never leaving me again.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, dude. I would, God, you know, my one, like, I loved all my games, and like, there's a lot of games I would love to have back from that era. But the number one thing that I would want back, what would be my Super Nintendo with the Super Game Boy cartridge. So, are you familiar with what the Super Game Boy is?
Oh, yeah. I think I remember those.
Yeah, it was basically, it was a cartridge that you plugged into your Super NES, and then you could plug a Game Boy game or a Game Boy Color game into that, and you would be able to play the Game Boy game on your TV.
Yeah.
And so back in that time, Pokemon Red and Blue had just come out, and I didn't have a Game Boy, but I had a friend who traded me, I'll never forget this, he traded me a Super Nintendo, a Super Game Boy, and like five games for one Pokemon card that, like, I think it was a Haunter. It wasn't even that good of a card. And like, I recognized like the ridiculousness of the deal, and I asked him multiple times, are you sure about this? I think I even threw in a couple extra cards for him. But
because you felt bad.
Yeah, I felt like I was, you know, I was cheating him, even though it was his idea. But I remember I got Pokemon Red in that trade as well, and I plugged it in. I'd never played it before, even though I was collecting Pokemon cards. And my first experience with Pokemon ever, video game wise, was Pokemon Red on my TV. And the thing is, the cool thing about the Super Game Boy was it had coding in it that automatically translated certain games into color. So, you know,
that's cool.
Yeah. So what it did was, the way it worked, from my understanding, was that the Super Game Boy only did this for games that had, something in their programming that allowed it to do that. And Pokemon Red had that. And so every time I entered a new area, it would change the color of the area to like green or red or blue.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that was my first experience. And I felt like, looking back, I'm like, that was such a special experience that not a lot of kids probably had. You know, most of them had it probably on the Game Boy in black and white, you know, on those shitty little screens. And I'm sure it was just as magical for them. But like for me, it was on the TV through my Super Nintendo in full fucking color. And it was amazing, man. And if I could get those back, I would literally, like, if I got it back, I would literally immediately right now stop the podcast, hook it up to my TV, and start playing Pokemon Red on my TV. Because, like, just the nostalgia would just be so real.
See, that's the thing, dude. I, you know, little do you know that guy, you know, that ended up being a $1 million Haunter card now, and he's sitting pretty somewhere with his $1 million cash.
The most valuable Haunter card ever made.
No, but, you know, that's funny how you are saying that, because, like, dude, I literally have every game and every console I've ever had still with me. So I have Atari. Dude, I have I have Nintendo, I have Super Nintendo, I have TurboGrafx-16.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
N64, PlayStation 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and 5 now. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
dude, no, that's awesome, man. I will say this. I think there's two parts to this of the difference between our ability to keep track of our consoles. Number one is, you are definitely obviously better at keeping track of things than me. That's like without a doubt. This episode has proven that. But number two is, I know you've lived in the same house since you were a young boy.
Yeah, that's true.
I think by the time I was 18, I probably moved like 15 times already.
Yeah, I was just about to. Yeah, I moved. That's true. That
so much as a kid, and so much gets lost in a move, both through the process of moving and you losing it, and the process of having to throw away things you don't absolutely need because there's not enough room or space or whatever.
Yeah, so. No, yeah, that definitely makes a difference. Yeah,
but dude, that's so cool. I'm happy for you. That's awesome that you have all that stuff. I hope every once in a while you break out some of the old stuff and play it, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, nowadays, you know, the newer stuff, you kind of can play the older stuff. But yeah, every once in a while, we try to do that.
That's cool. Hell yeah.
But dude, could you imagine?
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Once again, I'm Fritz Frivolous, and this has been Dude, Could You Imagine? If you would like to support our show, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dudecouldyouimagine. Or leave us an Apple Podcast review. Don't forget, we would love to hear from you, and you can subscribe to us on Instagram at @dude_couldyouimagine, on Twitter at @DCYImagine, and on our YouTube channel where you can leave a like and a comment. You can also let us know what you are imagining by emailing us at dudecouldyouimagine@gmail.com. Until next time, folks, this is Fritz Frivolous reminding you to keep on imagining.
That sounds like it could go dark, like Michelle saying, like, Will, what are you doing? And you're like, huh? And you look over and you have a knife in your hand. No, and you're like, oh my God, run, Michelle, I can't stop it.
No, it's never anything like that.